1340WNBS.com presents the Neil Bradley Show, your expanded look at local and regional sports with weekly guests or experts in their field. With today's show, here's Neil Bradley.
Well, welcome back. Finally, vacation has ended, and we are back with another edition of the program. And we'll have the usual guests this week. Josh Plenos will be in on Tuesday. We'll talk some NBA. And also, we're going to probably start to get into some college football coverage. Last week was SEC Football Media Days. Today, it's the Big 12 and the ACC. So we're going to start to get preseason polls coming out, and we'll talk about those, get Josh's thoughts. He's right there in the heart of Big 12 country there in Nebraska. And we'll get his thoughts on some Big 10 and Big 12 conference action and more. And Josh does a terrific job covering all aspects of that, and we look forward to talking with him. Also, Wednesday, Ed Marlowe will be along, as Ed and I had a conversation last week, a day earlier than usual. So we'll get you caught up on anything that has happened in terms of Murray State sports. And this is about as light as it gets. I know Ed did cover the Irvin Cobb Championship over the weekend. A lot of former Murray State players and current Murray State players participated, and we'll talk about his coverage of that and more. Also, we'll check to see if Ed's run off the new sports writer, Al, yet. Got to constantly check on that with Ed, but we'll do that and more. It's all coming up on this week's show. Now, next week will be a little bit different. I will be out next Tuesday. My wife is going into hospital for a procedure. Should just be a one-day thing. So I'm not sure if Josh will be on next week. We'll have to wait and see on that. But Monday is OVC Football Media Day. So if we're not able to talk with Josh, we'll be able to post some things from our conversations that'll be on Tuesday's show. So we'll likely move Josh on to a show a little bit later on in the week. But we will have Tuesday content from OVC Football Media Day. Generally, we try to talk with as many coaches as we can. My grandson, who helps me, he is the spotter, also is one of the co-producers of our broadcast. Tyler, he's going to go with me on Monday, and we hope to have some maybe different content that we haven't had before that we'll post on our website. So we'll have some of that from Tyler and myself. At least that's our plans. And then, of course, we'll talk Wednesday with Ed next week about the results of OVC Football Media Day. They do a media poll, and the coaches / SID polls, we'll compare those and see how that all comes out. We'll also know if any Murray State players will be chosen on the all-OVC preseason team. So that's all coming up next week. This week probably a little bit lighter in terms of content. I know I've been asked, I don't know how many times I've had people text me, Facebook messenger me, When's the basketball schedule coming out? Well, it's not out, and again, it's the same old story. The wait and the schedule freeze because of the Missouri Valley Conference flirtation has sort of thrown things a little more behind than usual, but still it's usually late August to sometime in early September when those schedules are released. I do know that the women's schedule is closer to being released than the men's schedule is at this point. I've seen both of them in terms of temporary schedules, and these are things that can't be released. Many of these do not have the contract signed, so I'm not at liberty to discuss or release any of those things, but should be really good schedules. A lot of what's out there for Murray State's men has already been announced in terms of the road games. Still looking for an official bye game. Usually that's an SEC, an ACC, you know, something like that. Atlantic 10, AAC, one of those schools usually signs in, and usually Murray shops and tries to get the best deal in terms of the date that'll fit. So they're still shopping for an official notice on that. And I think the last time I checked in, they were still looking for another a couple of home games, and also looking for maybe an exhibition opponent to be officially nailed down. So still a few slots that they're looking to fill. Last time we checked, Murray was not in any tournament. I continue to check this one website that lists any tournaments, and right now Murray State isn't in any on the men's side. So we'll wait and see what happens. Now, for Rochelle Turner, this is her first time as a college basketball coach to be involved in scheduling. So it'll be an interesting schedule, to say the least. But I'll tell you what, she has taken the bull by the horn, so to speak. And this I think, will be a really interesting season for Murray State women's basketball as well. Football, of course, that schedule is out. We know everything about the football schedule except the kickoff time for the Louisville game. That hasn't been set, and those are the things. Usually it's because of TV. You know, hey, this is not going to be on CBS, Murray State, and it's not going to be on ESPN, so I'm not sure why they make them wait till after the first week or two of games to announce kickoff times for those. And but that's kind of where we stand. That's sort of the way the big conferences do. And we're in wait-and-see mode on that one. Likely, based on everything we've seen in the past, that's likely going to be a morning or an afternoon kickoff. And by morning, I mean morning in terms of Central Time, so probably an 11 or a 2 o'clock kickoff. I don't foresee that being a night game because it's not the early game like it's been being. It's September 30th is when that kickoff is. And I did just see this morning Louisville is picked third in the Atlantic Division of the ACC. And we'll get some more information on that, find out some of their preseason picks and other things as ACC football media days are taking place this week. Okay, that's pretty much it in terms of Murray State, other than a few notes from yesterday's Paducah Bank Irvin Cobb Championship. Chris Irwin finishing at 139, and he captured the amateur title yesterday among those with Murray State connections. Chris Griffin and Gay Wheeler tied for third at 141. Joshua Rhodes finished fourth at 143. And in the pro division, Rick Cochran III, the winner. He took home the big check with a 134, while former racer Matthew Zakutny was third at 137, with Cameron Carrico and Nick Newcomb tying for fourth at 138. This past weekend, I was we sort of took the tour. My wife and I took a few days off, and Friday, we went to Ellis Park, enjoyed some horse racing there, saw Calvin Burrell. He rode, had several mounts that day, didn't have any winners, though, but got to see a Kentucky Derby winner race at Ellis Park. That was kind of neat. So that was good. We're big bettors. We take $20 each to bet, $2 each, and used to be 10 races, so that would be $2 per race, but there were only 8 on Friday, so that left us with a little bit of extra money. And the wife picked a winner, and I picked a winner. She, I think, won $15, and I won $4. So we bet $40, won $19, so we came out negative, but we had a terrific time, a lot of fun. That is a tradition for us to try to go up there once a year. We slide on, so we're, you know, Henderson. Slide on over to Owensboro, and you know that what you got to do there. You got to eat at Moonlight Barbecue, enjoyed a terrific meal, spent the night in Bowling Green. In fact, spent two nights in Bowling Green. It was my wife's class reunion, and I was able to run into Reggie Kennedy, former racer football player, who was the 1990 leading tackler for Murray State, the fourth highest total in racer history that year. And that still stands as the fourth highest total. Nathan Williams, the all-time tackles leader. I think he had 193 or some ridiculous amount one year. But he is the all-time tackles leader. But Reggie Kennedy is also in the top five. Yeah, he and Danny Amato were big-time linebackers. If Reggie wasn't getting the tackle, Danny Amato was. And I asked Reggie, do you hear from Danny Amato? And he says, yeah, every couple of weeks. Now, I don't know if he said he talked or text or Facebook or whatever they do. I'm not really sure. But had contact with him. So it's just amazing that football, just in really any sport, but football, you have the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into all that. for just 10 or 11 games, depending on when you happen to have played. And it's a little bit different bond. And Reggie is now retired. He did work in the oil industry, I think, basically his entire career for a couple of different jobs. But he is retired, and he looks good, really good physical shape. Looks like I think Mitch could probably use him at linebacker this year. He looks like he could play, but, you know, is any football player to tell you, if you've played a while, those aches and pains still go along with that. But it was great to see Reggie. He graduated with my wife from Ohio County High School in 1987. So I was my wife had gone to a few of the class reunions with me, so it was my turn. This is the first one I'd been able to attend because of football conflicts. I know that they had some of those on weekends where Ohio County football played, like on a Friday night, and I was on the road with the Racers, couldn't do it. So this was the first one that I've been able to attend. But it was fun. I spent time in Bowling Green, as I said, and I know we make a lot of fun of Bowling Green because of our longtime rivalry with Western Kentucky. But seriously, I like the town. A lot of really neat places to eat. In announcing for the KHSAA radio network, spent several years in Bowling Green doing the tournament at Diddle Arena. Got to know a bunch of the people there, and really, I like the city. Our headquarters for Forever Communications is there in Bowling Green, the Beaver and Yoo-Hoo and the radio station. So it's a terrific city. And when we poke fun at them and make fun of WKU, it's all in jest. I think the folks know that. And, you know, my wife being a WKU alum, and she also has a degree from Murray State as well. So she is smarter than me. Did marry me, so I don't. She's not that smart, but still. Smarter than I am, no doubt about that. All right, I've bored you enough with what I did with my few days of vacation, but I'll be really honest. I'm ready to get back at doing something. I want football to be here, and it will be here a week from today, OVC Football Media Day. So that's coming upon us really quick, and that's when we'll start to really get the information flowing. And believe it or not, let's see, this is the 17th of July. And the 18th of August is the high school football season opener, I believe. I believe that's correct. All right. Now I've gone and embarrassed myself because I want to be sure that I'm right. Okay, it is the 18th. Graves County plays at Murray High. Callaway County is at Ohio County. So all the local teams that get involved in playing their openers. And then the next week, the 25th, it is the Crosstown Classic, which will be played at Stewart Stadium. So getting excited for high school football. A lot of information will begin to trickle into that. The guys at the high school level already out getting their work in as they get set in just a month from tomorrow. Is that crazy? A month from tomorrow, it'll be kickoff time, and high school football Friday Night Lights will be here. And it is a special time for all the communities to participate in that. I know we're going to have soccer news, and we'll have much more as those athletes also continue to roll in at the college level. And again, they're already working on their season at the high school level as well. And although we don't carry them on the radio, we certainly carry any news for our local high schools in as far as soccer goes, boys and girls. So it'll be certainly an interesting time as far as that goes. Now to talk about something I didn't really want to talk about, and that is the Pittsburgh Pirates putting it on the St. Louis Cardinals. And my good friend Shirley Martin, who is a longtime Pirates fan, she hasn't texted me or called, but I would not pick up and would avoid all contact with her because of the way the Cardinals lost 2 of 3. They had the lead, and they lost 2 of the 3 games yesterday, no exception. They head into the 9th inning with a lead. They're up 3-2 thanks to Yadier Molina's solo home run in the 8th inning. They bring in Brett Cecil. In fairness, he'd been pitching pretty well lately. And Mike Matheny, I think, said basically that's the reason he decided to bring him in. Right, Mike?
You could tell that one had that sharp bite that Brett has had lately. The guys just aren't getting the good part of the bat, too. So I imagine the one that he hit had a little more of the play, maybe not quite the bite, but he's been extremely good lately, and that's why we had him in that situation.
And it didn't work out as Cecil blew the save after Adam Frazier's RBI single won it. And Cecil talked about that's really the only pitch he said he'd like to have had back.
Only pitch I really wish I could have back is obviously the last pitch, the curveball, just kind of hung over the middle of the plate. And the first one was really good. I was just trying to do the same thing, get it over the plate, and then get it down to the zone. Just hung up there a little bit.
Cardinals stumble out of the gate, lose 2 of 3 out of the All-Star break, so they will try their luck against the Mets. And it'll be Adam Wainwright against Zach Wheeler tonight. It's a 6:10 game, airtime 5:15 on WNBS. But the Cardinals, if you're thinking, well, what about wild card? They actually have a better shot at winning the division than they do the wild card. And they're 6.5 games behind the first place Brewers. They're 3 games under 500 at 44-77. So right now, you're at the 91 game portion of the season going into game 92, probably. I hate to say it, but they probably are who they are. They have Grichuk on the DL. Then the Cardinals also put Piscotty on the disabled list with a groin injury, hurt making a throw in Friday's loss at Pittsburgh. Magnarius Sierra recalled from AAA, and he had a good day yesterday, 4-for-4. To me, he looks ready. Now, I like the kid. Doesn't bring maybe a ton of power, but like the way he plays. He brings a great enthusiasm to the lineup, but so far hasn't translated into a lot of recent wins. We will see. Down on the farm, Nick Martini led off the bottom of the ninth inning with a home run as Memphis rallied to beat Round Rock 2-1 at AutoZone Park. That is 60 wins now for Memphis. They'll play Oklahoma City tonight. Alberto Rosario singled home the tying run in the eighth inning for the Redbirds. They have 6 straight wins, so they are certainly getting it done. Louisville Bats edged the Indianapolis Indians 6-5 at Victory Field. Philip Irvin put the Bats up for good with a 2-run double in the ninth inning. The Bats host Syracuse today. The Nashville Sounds got hammered by Omaha. The Storm Chasers, a 15-1 win at Werner Park. Chris Jansen tossed 5 innings of 5-run ball to take the loss. The Sounds, the Iowa Cubs today. Now, I wasn't on last week, Wednesday through Friday. I was on in the early part of the week when SEC Media Days began, but they had not, at least when I cut the show Tuesday, either they had not released them or I hadn't seen the predicted order of finish from the media poll. And Alabama, no shock, picked to win the SEC. The predicted order of finish in the Western Division, Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Arkansas, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, and Mississippi. On the other side, in the East, Georgia is the favorite, following Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, South Carolina, Kentucky, picked 5th, Vanderbilt, and Missouri. The media has correctly picked the SEC champion 2 of the last 3 years. I know they're good. Well, not really. They've only picked the winner 4 times in the last 20 years. The Memphis Grizzlies finished with the NBA Summer League action in Las Vegas, an 87-82 semifinal loss to the Portland Trailblazers Sunday. Dylan Brooks led Memphis with 16 points off the bench. Vincent Hunter added 14 for the Grizzlies today. The Lakers and Blazers clashing in the tournament championship game in Las Vegas. Still a few days away. Later this month, Tennessee Titans will open their training camp, and so we'll start to add some pro football news into the mix as well whenever we do that. All right, that is going to wrap it up. On Tuesday's show, again, Josh Plenos will be in. We're going to talk some college football, I believe. And also, we'll get the latest on the NBA. Any recent signings and news, Josh will get us updated with that. And that's coming up on the program Tuesday. You can always listen to the show at 1340WNBS.com. Get the sports tab. It's on the drop-down menu, as well as archive programs. Or easier for you, just listen on the iTunes podcast app. And you can also subscribe when there's a new episode. It'll pop it up on your phone. Download it automatically if you choose to do it that way. And you can listen when you want to the Neil Bradley Show at 1340WNBS.com.
You have been listening to the Neil Bradley Show, or you have fast-forwarded to this point and skipped the show entirely. Tune in weekdays for the Neil Bradley Show on 1340WNBS.com or subscribe free by searching for the Neil Bradley Show on the iTunes podcast app. The Neil Bradley Show is a presentation of WNBS Sports in conjunction with Forever Communications.